Good morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to John chapter 8. And I'll turn there as well. Let you know if you're visiting here, or remind you if you're not paying attention. We're going through a sermon series, the I Am's of Jesus, the claims of Christ. He had seven I Am's. I believe this is our third one this Sunday, and if you missed any, you can even go on our website. It's found on a computer, and you can find it through the interweb, so you can even Google us and we show up. So if you missed something, you can find our sermons online there as well. So John chapter 8, and let's pray, and then we'll go through the word together. Heavenly Father, we come before you again this Sunday. And I know we've prayed this morning already. We're thankful for the freedom that we enjoy to be able to open your word. And Lord, I can't help but think, brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that are even going to die today for opening a Bible and for their faith. And Lord, I pray that in light of our freedom, we'd not become apathetic. Lord, as we open your word, speak to us, and I ask, Lord, that the mystery that our hearts would be softened would happen, Lord, that we would be receptive. And Lord, even as I speak, Father, I pray that you would speak through me and speak to me, Lord. I ask, Lord, that I be clear to your word, and Father, that my thoughts would be on track. And Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified in our time in your word together. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you were here a couple Sundays ago, we went through where I preached on the bread of life. I'm going to do kind of a similar, I guess, style to what I had done a couple Sundays back, is I'm going to go through the story. If you see John chapter 8, we're going to focus mainly on verses 12 to 30, and I'm going to give a little bit of background. And I'm also going to just breeze through the story first, and then we'll break it down. So to give you a little bit of background into John chapter 8, in John chapter 7, there's a number of different times where people ask the question, and we come into John chapter 8 with this question asked over and over again, who is Jesus? Who are you? Who in the world is this guy? What is he saying? Who is he? Some thought he was the Messiah. The book of John is to show us that he is God, he is the Messiah. That's why John wrote this book, and so we get a picture of that in chapter 7. Some people were saying he's the Messiah, and it's clear. And others were saying, who is this guy? What in the world is he saying? What's going on? If you look to chapter 8, it's interesting. There's a story here of a woman caught in adultery. They bring him to Jesus, not because they're overly concerned about the woman. They want to trick Jesus. They're trying again to figure out, who are you? And in that, they're saying, here's this woman caught in adultery. What are you going to do? Who are you? And at the end of the story, he basically burns them all, verse 7. And he says, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And it says later, I believe it's verse 9, that one by one, they went away and left the woman alone standing before him. So again, now this crowd has left. He's just stumped them again. But it says in chapter 8 of verse 12, it says, again, Jesus spoke to them. Now, we're not sure if this is right away. The crowd has literally just left, and there's some still lingering, maybe in defense of their friends, thinking, man, that was good. You kind of got us there. And this happens often with Christ and these people, the crowds. And there's maybe some there that are wanting to still get him, wanting to defend his friends. We don't know. Not sure if it's right away. I think likely Jesus spoke to them right away, certainly that day. And he says this to them. So in light of this question again, who is this guy? Jesus says this. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's quite a statement. And so what do the people do? The people respond, and I find this comical. The people respond how? In verse 13, they say, your testimony's not true. You're lying. He just finished saying he's the light of the world, the light of life, and their response is almost the opposite to that truth, is, well, you're lying. That's not true. You're lying. And it looks similar to me. I can't help but think, if you remember back to chapter 6 when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, a similar response happened. The people were saying, wait a second, this is just Jesus. We know where he grew up. We know his dad. They thought they did. And the same thing's happening here. Well, you're lying. Where's your witness? Where's your proof? And in verse 15, Jesus says to them, look, you're judging according to the flesh. That is, you're judging according to what you see, appearances. You're making a wrong observation here. And the people respond then, he goes on to say, I guess to explain this, he says, you're judging by appearances on the outside, very similar to what was said of Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:16. This is how the Apostle Paul is a Pharisee who killed Christians for following Christ. He said this, he said he viewed Christ the same way. He says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. So just the outward kind of appearances or what we're seeing as facts, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. So they don't regard him just as a man. Paul's saying, I used to, but I know who he is. I know he's God. Okay, and this is happening again. Jesus is saying, look, you people, you're judging according to the flesh. So in verse 16 and 18, Jesus says, you want proof? Well, here's my proof. You want a witness? Here's my witness. And we know he goes through in three verses there and basically says in a number of different ways, I'm speaking from God. God is my witness. He's my testimony. So the people respond, and I think this response makes sense. They say, well, okay, who's your father? If he's your witness, where is he? Who is he? And they're still thinking according to the flesh. I mean, they're standing there, right? This happened. They're right in front of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and they're not getting it. And in 19, he says, if you know me, you know the Father. Now, this is interesting. We know what he's saying here. He's saying, if you know God, you know the Father. I can know God, but I don't know John Piper. We've quoted John Piper here in sermons quite often. He's a pastor, author, well-known speaker, brother in the Lord. I know God, but that doesn't mean I necessarily know John Piper. I don't know him. I know of his books, don't know him. He's saying, if you know me, you actually know the Father. And what he's saying clearly to them, but they're not seeing it, is he's saying, I am not only from God, I am God. And then he goes to basically show them, you know, he didn't have a flannel graph with them, but he's going to show them, here's the gap. Look, I'm from God. If you hear from me, you hear from God. Let me show it to you this way. Here's the gap. And he shows them how big this gap is. And they're really just kind of thinking he's talking about travel plans. He says in verse 21, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. It's like they didn't even hear the part about dying in your sin. Where's he going? Like, what tickets did he purchase? What trip? Is there a plan going on that we didn't hear about? Where's this place? And they're saying, is he going to kill himself even? They're confused. They're like, well, maybe it's even something like that. Is he going to take himself out of this world that way? Verse 23, Jesus goes on to explain more. He says, look, where I'm going, you can't go. You're from below, right? You're from below. I'm from above. Verse 23 says this. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. And then in verse 24, he says again, you will die. And it's inferred from his testimony that he's not going to die. You're going to die, I'm going to live. He says, if you believe in me, you will live. And verse 25, the people then again, still confused, say, well, who are you? If we believe in you, we live. Well, who are you? And Jesus says to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. just what I've been telling you from the beginning. He's been telling since the start of his ministry, his disciples, he's been showing this to them, telling them this, the crowds. Look, this is nothing new, he's saying. I've been telling you this. This is the same story. But there's something even more in this when he says, this is what I've been telling you from the beginning. It goes even much further back than this. It's not just from 2 years ago, a year ago. In Luke 24, verse 25, when Jesus, in fact, does die and he rises from the dead, he appears to his disciples. He appears to his disciples, and this is what he says. He says to them, "You foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." So all of the prophets have spoken. Okay, the Old Testament. You missed it. Verse 44, Jesus went on to say, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." That is absolutely remarkable. He's saying, look, I've been saying this to you since I've been with you. It's been said by my Heavenly Father since the beginning of the Scriptures. This is the story of the Bible. It's in the prophets and Moses and the Psalms. I'm there, he's saying. This is nothing new. It's right there. He's basically telling them, if you're going to understand who I am, then you must look into the Scriptures. They all speak of me. It's really an outstanding case to the Old Testament. If you just read the New Testament, Jesus did not just show up on the New Testament scene in your Bible. He is seen in the Old Testament. Every book of the Old Testament, he's there from the beginning. That is cool. That's exciting. They still didn't understand, unfortunately, though. Verse 27, it says that. And Jesus says, he says, you'll understand. He'll understand, and he says in verse 28, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He." Everything's going to be verified then. He says, you'll understand. I'll die on a cross. You'll understand then. I'll rise again. You'll understand then. Some of them will. And obviously, ultimately, when he comes back, when he's lifted up as king, and he comes back to take his throne here to make a new earth, a new heaven, reign forever, everyone will understand then. And Jesus is saying to them, but look, understand it now. My testimony is true right now. It's from God. And he finishes off this passage. Last part of verse 28 to 29, he says a number of different things to make it plain to them. This is God speaking. He says, "I submit to the Father. The Father is with me. I obey him. I speak from him. I'm sent from him. He is with me. And I always please him." So there's the story of a breeze through the story of Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. The question was on everyone's mind, who are you? Who is this Jesus everyone's talking about? What are you saying about yourself? And in verse 30, I find it interesting. Apparently, some people got it. Apparently, some understood who he was, because it says in verse 30, some believed. At the end of this passage, this testimony, this story what's happened, it says some people got it. So who is he saying to be? And I want to now break apart the passage for you and show you what Jesus was saying very plainly and what some of those people did believe that day. First is this, in verse 24 and 28, and Pastor Gord just preached on this. Jesus said this, and I don't know if you picked up on this, but in verse 28, he says, I am he. And he is not saying, I am who you think I am, because they didn't understand. They were looking at him from a worldly point of view. He said, I am he. I am God. I told you that you would die in your sins, he says, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 7, we know this would have been very significant for them. He had said plainly, I am he before. And they said, why does this man speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus was saying to them, I am the light of the world. I am He. I am God. I speak from God. I am it. And He was also saying very plainly to them, I am the Messiah. He says, I am the light of the world. Now we can hear this, especially in our culture. You can read this and be like, that's good. I'm so glad He's the light of the world. We need more lights. But He's not a light in the world. He was saying very plainly to them, I am the light of the world. I'm not an option. I'm not, oh, that's good. Good for Jesus. You know, right on. No, He's saying something here that divides. He's saying He is the light of the world. He is the Messiah. That means then that the world needs light. The world needs a Messiah. If He's the light of the world, the world needs to be saved. And He's that light that's going to save. It's in darkness. And He said in verse 24, He said this plainly to them. He said, you will die in your sins. Now again, even for us as the crowds, to hear this, and we preach this all the time, we get desensitized to this. I get hardened to this. Wait a second, He's the light of the world. That means the world is dying. It needs a Savior. But even there we say, well, a Savior, you need like, what is it, the Avengers, or Iron Man 3 would be the newest one. I'm thinking of the superheroes out there. Instantly probably comes to our mind, we need a Savior. Send me a hero. You know, that sounds good too. That's good. No. This is not at all, not even close to what Christ is saying. He's saying, the world needs a Savior. It is in darkness. It will die in their sins. I am that Messiah. I'm it. They need a hero? No. They are in spiritual darkness. You and I, the situation's the same for all mankind. We are spiritually dead. He wasn't just talking about you'll die in your sins. What? I'm going to die one day? Remarkable. I didn't know that. Is this guy a physician? Who is this guy? Maybe he's a doctor. He knows we're all going to die. No, he's not saying that. He's saying you will die spiritually, and the situation's the same for all mankind. Scriptures tell us this. We are spiritually dead. This idea of darkness. We're blind. We're lost. We're incapable of saving ourselves. It is absolutely hopeless. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe you need a Savior. You don't need a Messiah. You can get out of it yourself. But the Scriptures tell us plainly, it is hopeless. You need a Savior, and without this Savior, you are in darkness. You are dead. You will be in hell for eternity. In verse 12, Jesus said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And he doesn't mean, look, if you just do what I do, you'll be good. Just follow me around and just copy my moves, and you'll be good. He said in verse 24, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. It's to believe, to follow Him. Jesus said it plainly to the crowds, and we're looking at it this morning. He said, if you follow me, it means you believe me. Often I speak to myself. Often we, in our language, can even water this down for people. Someone might ask you, how's so-and-so doing? And so-and-so is a professing believer in Christ. And your answer to them might be, well, they just kind of need to find their way back. Or they need to get back to church, back to their faith, get on track, turn their life around, find peace, whatever the list is. But Christ said plainly, He said, whoever follows not peace, not a track, not a life choice, a plan for your life to get right with God. He said, if you follow me, if you follow Christ, do you see the difference there? And sometimes we can do the same and we water it down and we say, they just kind of need to, you know, just get right. No, they need to know Christ and submit to Him. And Jesus said, and it's kind of interesting, you know, you look at a flashlight shines on things. Jesus is saying He's the light of the world, so often I think we can look, well, He must be illuminating things. Well, He's not. He's the light that actually shows Himself. He's illuminating God. He's saying, this is God. Look at me. I am it. And He says, if you believe in Him, then you have the light of life. And it's very similar to what he said with the bread of life. Remember with the bread of life, he said, you don't need things from me, you need me. And he's saying with the light, he says, if you see me, what do you have? You think he would end and say, then you'll see this. He's saying, no. I'm the light of the world. If you believe in me, it's not just that you see something, you have me. You believe in me. You believe in my death for you, my resurrection for you when he says he's going to be lifted up, me ruling one day as king, and you're going to be safe under my care. That's what you believe. He said this to the crowds, and this is the gospel seen through this story. So then to put some feet on this morning for you. Certainly, if we're in darkness and you see something, it brings light to the situation. We get that. The power goes out at our place, it seems like, every week. I don't know what it is in Rocky in our neighborhood, so we're getting used to that. Flashlights are great. When you see something with a light, it illuminates things. You can maybe have, I don't know if you've experienced this, a musician that I really appreciate, Matt Maher. I listened to Matt Maher's music for a long time, and then I saw Matt Maher on YouTube, and I was like, what? That's not Matt Maher. That can't be him. He's not like that, and I don't know if any of you know who Matt Maher is, but you listen to him sing, and then you see him, and you're like, what? How does that? It'd be like a John Piper, maybe. You're like, how did that guy preach that? Look at him. Matt Maher's the same way. Maybe you've heard where it's like, oh, you need to meet so-and-so, and you've heard stories about so-and-so, and then you meet them, and you're like, oh, okay, are you sure this is the person you're talking about? Because we have a different picture in our mind, right? When you see who Christ is, truly see who he is, the true Christ of the Bible, that will absolutely change everything for you. It's salvation. You'll see him for who he actually is. You see him as the light of the world. It changes everything. And this is also something that Satan does not want you to see. And he does not want your neighbor to see, or your cousin, or your brother, or your sister, or anyone to see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. To keep them from what? What has he blinded them from? This is incredible. Look at this. He says, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. That's what he's blinded them from, who is the image of God. The absolute last thing that Satan wants you to see, or anyone of the world to see, is what? Is Christ. And that's the very thing that Christ commands us to see and to show people. In chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 14, we're commanded, we're told, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And we are the light of the world. How? Because we have the light of the world. We have the light of Christ. We have the glory of the gospel of Christ, the image of God. So a question I want to ask you, and I've asked myself, is this. Am I even a threat to God, to the darkness? Am I even a threat to the darkness? Because it says that Satan blinds the world to see Christ. So am I a threat to the darkness? Or am I just giving light? Do I think I'm just going to be a good person? There is unbelievers that put me to shame as far as good person. I had someone the other day in my truck. I was working on the rear end of my truck. Couldn't go anywhere. I was on my pedal bike. A guy I've just got to know, neighbor. And he says to me, we're going on holidays tomorrow. Do you want to borrow my keys to my car? What? I'd never do that. That challenged me. I'm seeing some light, some goodness in a sense, right? It's not a bad thing. I thought that's pretty good. I want to ask you, are you a threat? Are you just light, though? Are you a threat to the darkness? Because being good and handing out keys is not a threat to the darkness. Do you testify? Have you witnessed to Christ? Are you a threat to the darkness? In your prayer life, do you pray that you would just be a light Just be an example of what? I'm challenging you to pray specifically. Pray with your kids. Pray intentionally. Pray with power. Don't pray just for light. Pray for the light of the world, that you would witness of Christ. And in fellowship, you just talk about good things. You know, you don't swear when we get together as Christians. That's good. You know, we don't get hammered too often. Well, that's good. Do we talk of anything of significance? Do we talk of Christ? Do we talk of the light of the world? Are we a threat to the darkness? This convicted me when I heard that. Satan is blinding the world to Christ. So am I a threat? If I look at my life, is it that way? You know, we saw just an awesome rainbow. My wife made the mistake of saying, I've never seen a full rainbow. We've seen like 5 in 2 days now. Just incredible rainbow. We're at my parents' place. We had one, and they had taken a picture the other day, and it went right into the dugout kind of thing. And so we joked about, like, is there a pot of gold there? Like, I've never seen that actually happen. There's just rainbows everywhere. You're actually seeing end of rainbows now. Rainbows are awesome. You see sun showers. We drove back from my parents' place, went through a storm. It was incredible. I had the wipers going so fast, I could hardly see, yet it was sunny out. And it's just incredible light. The thing with this, though, to illustrate this on a physical realm, is that that's great, but it's impossible without the sun, right? I mean, a rainbow's great, but it ain't happening without the sun. And even not only that, without the sun, and I'm not a science expert, we're dead. I did awful in biology, but I know pretty certain that if we don't have the sun, things aren't going well for us, right? We're dead. And Satan works the same way in the spiritual world. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, he says this, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That is significant. So he's going to use, you know, the rainbows of this life, the good things of this life. Yeah, that's great. Focus on that. As long as you do not wrestle with who is the light of the world, as long as you don't look at the source of the light, the reason for life, or the possibility of anyone to have life. You look at false teachers, media, it's going to be the same message. You're going to hear things. You're going to hear peace. You're going to hear good things. The news, you're going to hear justice and hope and love and acceptance. You're going to hear these things. You're even going to hear from the false teachers, and I had a pastor friend of mine, I can't help but share this, you're going to hear things that are good. And he said to me, he said, man, I had a guy that I dealt with, and he was had the fluffiest wool that you had ever seen on a wolf. He was so fluffy. I thought that was so good. We typically think of, like, well, you'll be able to pick him out. The false teachers, I mean, come on. The guy selling holy water on the TV. Yeah, I get that. He's nuts. That's not the case. You can't just limit it to that. You will get this in the media, the world, right? This is the darkness of the world. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. You will see things that seem to be good and make sense. And all of it, you'll even hear from the false teachers, you'll hear the word Christ. And I tell this to you to protect you and to hopefully grow you in discernment. You will hear Christ. You will hear light. You will hear spirit. You will even hear the term gospel. But you will never, ever hear the gospel. And you will never get explained to you who the light is. It's just a smoke show. And it's death. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Testify of me. I am what saves. Not just light. And we get comfortable with that. Now, we can say this, and this is fine. And then even to say, well, we need to certainly follow the light. I mean, it's inferred here in this passage when he says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So certainly to not walk in darkness, you got to walk somewhere. It's to walk in the light. So you can say, well, I need to walk in the light, and that's a good thing. And it is good. But there's a problem with that. I mean, that sounds good. But in John chapter 3, so a couple chapters back in this book, 19 to 21, this is what it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Well, who's that? Christ. But the people loved the darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light. They actually hate the light. They love darkness, hate light. It says, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You know, we were listening on the way, to church, I guess. It was during breakfast. I've got this worship music that I absolutely love. It's from Together for the Gospel. It's a conference that's on every 2 years. And they've got the worship from there. It's like, it's a men's conference. There's like 7,000 men singing a cappella to these old hymns, and some of them are newly written. It's phenomenal. And I love it. And we're listening to this, and I thought, you know what? That's probably not something my neighbors were playing loud last night. When you're on holidays on the beach, I challenge you to listen to the music. I'm curious to know whether Together for the Gospel is going to be played. And it's not because it's hymns that it won't be played. You can have Christian music that's masked, maybe by, it sounds just the same, but maybe the lyrics, whatever. It's the uncomfortableness of the world hates this. Why? I'm not talking hymns. I'm just talking what it's proclaiming. It hates it. It makes them uncomfortable. It's like flicking the lights off in a dark room and, oh man, shut the lights off. That hurts my eyes. I don't like that. That's uncomfortable. And we struggle with this as believers. I certainly do. We will until we're with the Lord in eternity. And when we talk about then following then the light, if you're not born again, if you're not trusting in the light of life, if you don't have the light of life, then this is a depressing part of the sermon for you. This is going to feel like bondage. You're going to say, man, you'll leave maybe feeling guilty. I got to just do better, I guess. And he mentioned music, so maybe that's something I need to work on, I guess. But if you're saved, then you see, oh, I used to feel that way, but now I know the light of life. It's not about those things. I know who Christ is and what he's done for me. I'm saved. And now I hate the things of the world. I actually love the light. This is good news this morning. When we say we want to follow the light, you say, amen. Amen. We're going to follow the light. That's good news. It is great news. I mean, how can we not trust in our Savior? I'm going to follow the light. What do I need to do? Matt Chandler, in his book, The Explicit Gospel, and I couldn't find it. I told Glenn, I know it's in there because I read so slow. I know I didn't skim it. It's in there. I just couldn't find it. And I read so slow, it'd take me a week to find it again, probably. But he had said something in that book. It's on the gospel, and he had said, when you come to know Christ, sin is different. Now you're not just saying, hey, if something comes up, I'll maybe turn it around. I'll get rid of that in my life. You actually now, you hate the darkness, you love the light, and you are now on the offensive. You're going after the darkness. You're saying, show me the darkness in my life, God. Fellow brothers and sisters, show me. And you're on the offensive. You hate the darkness. You want it out. It's an entirely different way of looking at things. Ephesians 5:8 says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. How do you walk as children of the light then? You love the light? Well, how do you walk as it? Even now, I don't know if anyone's not in the light. Is anyone not able to see me at all? Was light selective today? I think it's incredible. Never once have I been outside fishing, and I'm like, maybe fishing with Steve Hart. Steve, where are you? The light, it didn't shine on you today. Steve, are you still here? Right? Light's not selective. Light hits absolutely everything. If you walk as children of the light, then you're saying expose every single part of my life, and it's good. This is good news. Show every little part, how I treat my spouse, my thoughts, my language, morals, entertainment, recreation. Just expose it for what it is. I want to know. So with that in mind, just to leave you with these two things then. Christ said plainly, I am the light of the world. So first, I guess you have to wrestle with, what does that mean? Did he truly die for me? Was I in desperate need of a Savior? Am I dead in my sin without Christ? Is it him alone and all his work on the cross and rising from the dead that will save me? And if you've come to that, then you are saved. You're born again. And then the idea is this. You've seen the light, and therefore you proclaim the light. We show the light of the world. That's what we do. So ask yourself, am I a threat to the enemy in my prayer life? Is the enemy like, yeah, keep praying that. That's fine. My witness. Sure. Get your neighbor to stop drinking. That's fine. You know, just give him a hug. That's fine. You know, are we a threat in your fellowship? You get together with your Christian friends. All you talk about is hockey and maybe eating right or whatever. Are you a threat to the enemy? I'm not saying, and I said this before and I want to say it again, and maybe it doesn't need to be said, but I am not saying just the first person you come to, you know, again, and to illustrate, you got a million light candle, and you're just like, boom, yeah, the light. Pastor Kyle said, this all that matters, and I'm supposed to show the light. So everywhere you go, you just brump, 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 you're hitting people. We're certainly to love people. I'm saying, and check your heart, is your number one desire, you meet with your neighbor, you talk with your neighbor, and it's done, are you praying that they'll know Christ? Are you like, man, that went pretty good, wasn't awkward, they didn't ask me any awkward questions? I mean, if it comes up and they ask me about Jesus, then great. Is your number one desire that they will see the light of the world? In fellowship, is it like, man, it was good to talk, you know, with Jesse, but I want to talk about the Lord. Is that your number one desire? In prayer, are you praying this way? Because it's your number one desire. Because you know the truth. The last is this, follow the light. If you know the light, then I'm challenging you today. This is good news. Pray it. God is good. Say, God, expose the darkness in my life. Every area of my life, God does not disappoint. He's the light. Show me. And this isn't just meaning go to a Christian friend. There, I did it. I went to a Christian friend, and I asked them, you know, how's things going? I'm kind of wondering about this area in my life. And then I'll see what answer they give me. If you're going to your Christian friend, you want light to shine. You say, Christian brother, Christian sister, we serve the same God. What has my God said on this topic? I fearfully want to know. You see the difference? I've seen it so many times and it breaks my heart. People will come to me as a pastor and they're really not seeking the Lord. They just hope that I'll say something that eases their conscience. There's a big difference between someone coming and saying, my God, help me. Pastor Kyle, what's the scripture say? I really don't care what you think. I want to know what my God says. I want him to shine light in every area of my life. And this is good news. So know that, and we got a couple songs to close in, but know that. Who is Christ? Know him. He is the light of the world. He is God. He is the Messiah. He is the light of the world. Praise God.